Well, this is where, go back to Pope Francis and the commentary there. We all have to participate here. Clearly, because of the role of leaders in any organization in breaking the silence that was involved in what we call in the literature, organizational public moral failure, huge literature about institutions. The banking scandals, for example, would be an example. They've studied this. Leaders have a crucially important role, but at the same time, these leaders have been formed in the exact culture that created some of the issues. So I would say to you, I mean, that area, I've looked at, you know, dioceses here and in the United States in particular. Everything is about putting the names of credibly accused offenders. Everything's about transparency. Others, everything's about, this is as complex as the set of systemic issues that have allowed the crisis to occur. But I would say, in the humility and vulnerability I feel about moving forward, the first is prayer. If we don't understand, and I mean, again, the summit and Pope Francis in particular, but others, I mean, there have been bishops right throughout our country and others who have done services of atonement, who have done services of atonement. My own bishop has, Bishop Brian Dunn, who inherited the Antigonish Diocese. I helped Bishop Brian years ago with that. I mean, but the issue of atonement isn't just saying you're sorry. You then have to work, but we have to pray. Because if we don't pray for the discernment, Francis's Jesuit term, as to what has to change and how it has to change, we're going to be back into these polarizing divisions of political agendas that are not the mission of Christ, that are not the mind of Christ, that are not the words and witness of Christ. So prayer, I think, and repentance are first and foremost. And then the second, I'm a doctor, but I'm a medical educator. I'm a teacher. I'm a daughter of Elizabeth Seton, who was an educator par excellence, and whose dying words, by the way, were "Be children of the church." Be children of the church. Now, she didn't mean naive little, you know, go to your room now, seen and not heard. What she meant was to, in fact, love and honor the church. And as we're now adult children, some of us elderly children, we're still children of the church. But we now need, I think, to help break the silence. Because now the silence is partly embarrassment, partly fatigue. And then the final kind of comment I would make to you on this is, look, what we know in medicine is that if you have a major illness, but you started out healthy and well, your ability to deal with that illness is good because your immune system is healthy. It can in fact respond. If you've been unwell, if you've had endemic disease, generation after generation of being unwell, not healthy, but the pathology has been deep in your genes and your cells, then you get an acute infection, you're doomed. So think of the immune system of the church has been badly damaged, and prayer, forgiveness essential, and then breaking the silence, but doing it in a way, and this is where, honest, I pray every single, I pray for our Holy Father every night, I pray for my own bishop, we have got to be able to find ways to recover the power of the Holy Spirit and believe that it's that power, that Trinitarian understanding of love and communication and support, that we need to go forward, because to simply be negative, just adds to the difficulty in rising above this, but to be critically constructive in the prophetic sense, now that is something we need.